You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
College baseball tournament's getting underway in the SEC. The Tigers taking on Mississippi State at 4:30. Tulane underway taking on Houston. We'll give you the update on that. Nichols tomorrow against Southeastern at high noon. We'll touch on some of the other possibilities and things they all have to do in order to continue their season as postseason play will go on. Saints starting OTAs, they are underway. Day one today, day two tomorrow. As a matter of fact, it should be wrapping up right about now. We are going to be out there on Thursday. It is the first chance we get a chance to check out rookies, veterans, the works. We're going to focus on this today in terms of storylines. What are some of the things Brian, again, who's joining us on Tuesdays, Brian and Ola East and I, and even Jordan the intern, what his assignment will be. Last year, Brian, if you remember, we tasked him with following the rookies.
Yes.
Yes. Maybe he'll be tasked since he's been, you know, a little short of actually doing a good job. Maybe he'll follow the kicking game.
Wow. Yeah. That's a downgrade.
That's
like parade detail.
I mean,
right,
I just
there,
heard
man.
Him off of the mic there. He just said, serious. If that's what I assign you, that's what you do. He's already questioning my assignment.
Yeah, I kind of will question that one.
I probably would as well. We'll touch on Super Bowl 58, 2024, New Orleans presenting by itself tomorrow to the owners. Jay Cicero, president of the Greater New Orleans Sports Foundation, is going to join us at 1:30. He'll be calling in to talk a little bit about that. And the difference, Brian, you and I were talking about it before the show. Is there any more or less pressure in presenting by yourself? You're not competing as you were in seasons past or years past at owners' meetings where, what, it was like five, then down to three, then you had those three finalists, and then it became like American Idol, right?
Send your votes in.
Yeah, send in your votes, and the third or the first person voted out of contention is, and in the city. Then they tweet it out, and then these two cities have to go re-back and present, and then they re-vote again, and you gotta have a majority. Now it's just one city.
Yeah.
Phoenix doing the same thing for Arizona on 2023. They were by themselves. This all came from the fact, remember, the Rams were going to do it.
Yes.
And then, that $2 billion now plus stadium is a little late.
Oh, yeah.
A little behind schedule, so they're not going to be ready in time to host it. So then, you know, another team, another city came in and was by himself in the NFL, sort of said, hey, I kind of like this process. Jay Cicero in reports yesterday saying, look, this started back in November.
Yeah.
So he's going to detail how this has gone, but it's presenting to, they're presenting tomorrow. We're going to have the man himself who's going to be doing the presentations and all that tomorrow to talk about it. And, you know, because everyone's like, they're hosting. It's a slam dunk. He's like, you got to
slow down.
Until they say it's yours and the NFL tweets it.
Right.
You know, and I get it. Look, it's a big deal. Or is it a big deal? Well, we're just kind of discussing this yesterday a little bit, Brian, you and I, and even before the show started. And let me phrase it like this, Jordan. I don't know how we throw this out there on the Twitter poll at ESPN Radio Nola. So you can always join us that way or call us 800-998-1003. We understand, what is it now, the $500 million, the economic impact. We've seen that number now, like 520 or something of that nature. I 100% understand the hotels, the restaurants, anything that has to do with hosting an event, right? I get it. That's an economic impact.
Yeah.
I get that. And it all trickles down. All of the employees, Brian, right, Deuce McAllister's Old Saint Kitchen and Tap, Jay, the hotel folks, the parking attendants, the waiters, the bartender, everyone benefits from having that amount of people in the city for an event for a certain amount of time, and it trickles down. So people do make money off of it.
Oh, yeah.
If you're in that industry, right?
Oh, yeah, if you're in the hospitality industry.
Right. If you're downtown, or you know, do you get that off of that? I am interested, though, in the overall fan. Like, is it a big deal for your city to host? And I'm not asking it isn't. Just how big a deal is it for you? And the only reason I ask that is because it is one of the reasons the Saints commissioned a company to see what enhancements, renovations, or just differences that you're going to have to do to the Superdome to continue to get these big events. And what I mean by that is, coming up, and we'll talk to Jay about it too, in 2020, it's the college football national title game, which now gets bidded everywhere. Remember, it used to be the Sugar Bowl and it rotated. Now it gets bidded. Any city, any big stadium wants it because, again, the economic impact. And then in 2022, you have the Final Four returning. It used to be a lot closer. Like, think about this. 2013 was the last Super Bowl.
Yeah.
2024, we're going 10 years.
Right.
If everything goes according to plan tomorrow, it'll be a decade. It used to basically be on the rotating basis every 4 or 5 years, New Orleans got one.
Indeed.
And again, whether you agree with it or understand it, more importantly, Brian, or not, it is absolutely because of the stadium.
Oh, yeah.
It's no other reason, okay? I mean, I was talking about this morning on another station. I said, you know, to me, as a guest, they were like, hey, what do you think about, you know, the Dome and all this and the city getting a Super Bowl? I'm like, look, for WrestleMania, was a perfect example. You know, Josh came out of town. He does wrestling segments with us. He was already down past a quarter at a bar way past almost on Esplanade. Then he went to the Jean Lafitte bar. And I parked by Windchill Square using my wife's parking. I'm parking in there, and I walked. It was like 10 minutes. I got there. I wasn't sweaty. My legs didn't hurt. I wasn't dying. You know, I got there in no time. I went straight down Royal, hooked a left, boom, right there at the end of Bourbon is the bar. Then we walked up Bourbon, went to a couple of different bars, saw people doing live wrestling matches on the street, which I don't recommend because there's no mat, you know. And then we walked straight down Bourbon through St. Charles, two Poggers, hooked a right, went into the Dome for WrestleMania in like 10 minutes.
Yeah.
I mean, I that's a pretty wide footprint. We passed tons of hotels. We passed tons of restaurants, and they were all packed. That's my point. You can do that by foot easily.
Yeah.
Once you get downtown, you don't need to go anywhere. There just isn't whatsoever an argument that anywhere else can do it better. It just isn't. There just isn't, okay? That said, you've seen cities that have been passed up that were on par and you know, that competed with New Orleans, Miami, or South Florida, as we like to call it, because it's not Miami.
Right.
where it is.
Everything is spread out
over
there.
Yeah, it is. So it's, you know, it's northwest of downtown Miami. Where the Saints played their Super Bowl. And at the time, we said it was a joke. Larry Holder and myself did the show at the time. It was the first, you know, month of the sports hangover. And our first remote was the Super Bowl. And he was covering it for CBSSports.com. And he went to go cover practice and then follow getting to get the sound from the team hotel, which was downtown. But we were basically, no, we were. We were in Fort Lauderdale. We're at the convention center in Fort Lauderdale. It's 45 minutes.
Yeah.
I mean, it's here to LaPlace, easy. And then you add the traffic on 95. They would practice at the Miami. He's gone 2-3 hours.
Yeah.
So that's not the case here. One's at the facility in the Saints. One, what I believe was Tulane, where the Super Bowl teams practice. And so when you look at it all, there's just no question about it. But what, Brian, I mean, Jordan, look this up. The South Florida Stadium, the Miami, they just recently renovated it last year,
mm-hmm.
right, and finished it. They put a covering over it because it was hot.
Yeah.
New screens.
I want to say they spent $500 million doing it.
Look up Landshark Stadium for me and what the renovation cost was.
I think the $500 million, if I'm not mistaken.
But they did it because
they were getting
past Super Bowls. Yeah. And they were awarded a Super Bowl.
Correct.
So, look, what does Tampa Bay do? Tampa Bay had to go renovate.
Oh, yeah, renovate the Raymond James Stadium.
There we go. I was about to say, like you like to call it, Raymond James Stadium.
Yeah.
They had to redo that to get a Super Bowl.
And Tampa's not the greatest location as far as their footprint either.
Well,
they're better.
Right. It's great by the airport.
Correct.
It's like a block or two. I mean, it's maybe 3 miles tops. Right. Maybe. You can see it on the runway clear as day. I mean,
right.
It is right there. But, yes, from downtown and all those. But my point is all of these different stadiums have had to redo their stuff.
Yes.
Okay. And fix it up and do that. My whole point that I'm going, you know, kind of tangent here, yet I'm kind of painting the broader background picture of this is it important enough for you? Because, you know, look, the team's going to spend, I'm sure, a chunk of this. City probably will as well, / the state. But you know, essentially they're looking at about $150 to $500 million they're going to put in renovations here. Now, we've all agreed. No one's building a $1 billion stadium here. There is no money in city or state for that to do that. They're having another special session right now to try to figure out the budget shortfall. So that's not gonna, you're going to have to do it in phases. And you're going to have to, and that's why I've always said, it's a 10-year plan, 5-year plan. How are you going to do this? Where are you going to go? And obviously, the money goes up and all that. It's one of the things we're going to talk to Jay about at 1:30. How difficult is it to put a plan together when you don't know what the footprint of the stadium is going to look like in 2024, you know? So my point is, all of that, I'm asking you as a normal person, normal fan, you know, is it a big deal to have these events? Brian, to me, it is. It makes you a major player. It is nice to sort of see. Now, look, I've talked to, and the reason I'm asking this, I've talked to people over the weekend. I was kind of thinking about this, and, you know, when this news started coming out over the weekend, and then yesterday all the reports came out, they hate the traffic.
Yeah.
You know, they don't go downtown. But other people, like, we love the NFL experience. We love walking the quarter, seeing the fans in town and stuff like that. But for the most part, even like in Mardi Gras, you have a lot of people that stay away.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's Essence Fest or anytime there's a lot of people downtown, people tend to stay away. So I'm asking, how big a deal is it, especially if it costs your tax dollars, you know, to do that? But again, I look at it like this. The renovation, the upgrading, the redesigning of the footprint that is the Superdome, because I say that because if you're going to do that, you know, x-ray sort of scan of the dome that they commissioned just, what, I think $400,000, I think, or something like that. Last month, they said that they were doing that. It's to find out the structures, the pipes, and everything that go into all that. That, to me, tells me before we start doing structural changes, we need to figure out where all this is at.
Yeah.
So you're going to do stuff like that. So you're going to improve it from that aspect of it. But it's not just the Home of the Saints. You have Endymion Extravaganza. You have concerts. You have Bayou Country Fest that's in there now. You have all these different games, all these different events. I actually do think it makes your city better. So I'm on board. I do think it's a big deal to get these events.
I have a love-hate relationship with it for the same reason that you just laid out. It's the idea that it makes your city a major player. It makes, you know, you kind of take pride in the idea that we have this record of Super Bowls that we've hosted. And then there's the Sugar Bowl and Essence and Bayou Classic and all these other events that go down. So it's kind of like, yeah, it makes you, you know, kind of gives a little bit of pride that we're a major market just like everybody else. Problem being, traffic. You know, people coming in town that, you know, really don't know where they're going. So even if you're in Metairie, you still have to deal with, you know, people that are cut in front of you. They're kind of lost. You're kind of behind them. So it's a love-hate relationship. I tend to stay away from downtown when there are major events, but I'm glad that the city is hosting them as well.
Mm-hmm. And like I said, I'm just curious to know how much it is to you in order to do that. So I don't know. Well, I 800-998-1003, like how big a deal it is. Because, again, unless you're sort of in that, do you directly get impacted on that? Look, we've done the last Super Bowl. We did the show from Radio Row, but we didn't get paid for it. You know what I'm saying? It's like I didn't directly. Now, we were part of the experience.
Yeah.
Okay? And we saw the game, and we were thankful it wasn't the Falcons
that
the 49ers won, but it was Kaepernick.
Yeah.
Okay? I mean, and again, I go back to that game a lot.
Yeah, that
because
was probably one of the...
they could have scored that touchdown there late.
Yeah.
And how different is his career and how different is Harbaugh? How different is all that if they won that Super Bowl?
I think his career would be different. I think Harbaugh's would still be the same because I don't understand what the 49ers were thinking letting go, you know, letting go a successful coach just because you guys, you know, in the front office bumped heads. I mean, I don't care if you don't like me. As long as we can get the job done together, I'm good.
There was some nice news coming out of Michigan. By the way, Raphael sent us some odds already for week one. Did you see they are a 7-point underdog to Notre Dame?
Yes.
And the news out of Michigan, though, is Harbaugh saying he's going to take the team. He's been taking the team to European countries and, you know, to kind of learn and get a little more cultural. South Africa in 2019.
Yeah.
That's where he's going.
I like Harbaugh, man. I always like him.
You know what's crazy, too? And again, we were talking about yesterday. We're going to do this in Shots Fired coming up in hour number two, where Brian and I pick four topics and go back and forth, and you can help either side win the argument by
usually
calling in
lose.
Or tweeting.
I'm
kind of undefeated.
No.
About yesterday with Joe Burrow, it's going to be one of the topics that you want to go into. To win, baby? And again, it wasn't even close. It was 80% combined, if not almost 90 when you look at it, right? 42 and 44%. Jordan, you can give us the latest numbers on that. Just to win, baby, or the more competition, the better.
Yeah.
You know, people are saying Harbaugh's not doing anything in Michigan. He hasn't done anything in Michigan. I'm like, yeah, he's bringing kids to different places in the world that no one else is really thinking of. It's a lot more than football there. He's a Michigan guy. He's like, but again, and I've always said this, when LSU fans got to the point where it was championship or bust, or
oh, yeah, that was
with
it.
Baseball, same thing too. If it's Omaha or it's a ruined season, man, you've really limited how much happiness and success you yes. can sort of have, because it's not easy. Only yeah. one team wins the national championship. That's
I don't think
it.
They get it. I you really know? Don't. I think it's almost delusional.
But that's
to
what
think.
It is, man. Yeah. It's like college yeah. sports. It's such a business now where you don't even enjoy the ride.
No.
I mean, like your Dukes and all that, you don't even enjoy the regular season. It's can you win the Final Four? And I get it. I understand it. But it's like, and I wonder this, and maybe I'm wrong on this, but do LSU baseball fans actually enjoy just the earlier part of the season on regular Saturday nights? I'm sure there's a large portion that do. But when people are ready to fire people in February, or, you know, it's like you're not even.
In February? You mean 1 week after the season starts? Oh, Maneri's a bum. Get rid of him.
I mean, when you get to that point, you know, and I get it. Success breeds higher expectations. Look. The New Orleans Saints, we're going to get into this next segment. What are some of the headlines they're going into? It's not just us. Nationally, they're calling the Saints a possible Super Bowl contender. So, you know what? 10 wins, 11 wins, not winning the division, yeah. not getting in the playoff. It is. You're right. It's unacceptable. I mean,
yeah, but here's the thing. If Sean Payton makes it again to the NFC Championship game and they don't make it to the Super Bowl, nobody's going to say fire Sean Payton.
Sure you are.
I mean, you have a few, you know, people that'll get sauced up and say something crazy, but I mean, look, like the overall
right.
picture won't be to fire Sean Payton. You know, those who understand won't say fire Sean Payton. If Maneri, you know, gets to Omaha, but he loses in the first round, it's like, oh, get rid of him. He's a bum. I'm like, are you kidding me? You guys weren't even supposed to make it
well,
that far.
I'll tell you what, the team and the coach that they lost to, I saw that the stat yesterday was incredible. And it's also incredible that LSU didn't have anybody in the first or second team, all SEC teams that got put out yesterday.
He's working a miracle right
but
now.
But did you see Florida? Their head coach
yeah.
oh. Got coach of the year, but also Florida, every week this week was either number one or number two. That's it.
And that's what
what
makes
me
mad.
No, that's yeah. what I said. Yeah. I said it last year when they played. I'm like, oh, that's the better team. And,
yeah.
and you saw a handful of teams in Omaha, and they're like, they have way better pitching and better players. But yeah. that's my point. It's like that coach, that team, listen to that. They were number one or number two. The entire season.
That was like Oregon
That's
State
it.
Last year. Like, yeah, Oregon State like, was really good.
That was it. Yeah. They never fell out of the second spot.
I'm like, are you kidding?
Like, they're good.
What most fans don't understand is that LSU is not the only team out there vying for, you know, for talent
if
now.
LSU makes it, D1 baseball has 11 of the 14 schools in the SEC in regional play.
Just saying. I mean,
11 of the 14.
So, have you looked at Louisiana baseball lately to see how many teams are actually competitive now? That's just Louisiana.
Right. So your midweek games
yeah.
can be losses.
Of course. Because there's a lot more talent
the
on the other
schools,
side.
Schools, not Louisiana, not LSU, want to win those midweek games, have to win those midweek games. It's important. I've been saying this to Bryant. I've said it to Coach Reiser last week, and he agreed. It's to the point. It's not getting to. It's to the point. I'm Tulane. I'm UNO. I need you, LSU, it's Johnny Holstaff on Tuesdays or
yeah.
Wednesdays.
Yeah.
For the other schools, you almost need to have what I would probably think is a Saturday or future Friday starter
yes.
start out to be my midweek guy.
Exactly.
You better have a good midweek guy. I mean, you have to, because when you're playing LSU, when you're playing Mississippi State, when you're playing Arkansas, when you're playing Florida and they're midweek games, you better have somebody that can win those games.
Oh, yeah.
If you want your RPI to be high enough. Look at SLU. I mean, Southeastern is a perfect example.
I'm going to look it up. I'm going to see how fast I can do it. I want to look up how many teams that weren't considered, like, what do you call them in basketball? The mid-majors?
Right.
How many of those guys have been making it Omaha lately?
Well,
because we're talking about Coastal Carolina, Stony Brook, and a whole bunch of others.
It's starting to dwindle, and it's going to get smaller and smaller and smaller, especially now when you see, again, it was never 11 to 14, the SEC.
No,
it was never.
Exactly.
So the Power Five is, you know, again, comes to money. They're getting more money in the TV revenues. They can spend more money in the facilities. They can recruit the better players. And once they realize they can make money in baseball,
yeah.
once they realize they can make it, because again, you put on the SEC network all season long and there's games.
Oh, yeah.
The Big 12 network, there's games. The Longhorn network, there's games. So baseball is just, it's just like everything else now in those Power Fives. And that's why in football, there's a gap between the Power Five football conferences and everybody else. Money. So it makes it harder. When more people invest in the money, it makes it harder. All right, quick break. We'll come back. You are listening to the Sports Hangover. Hour one is always brought to you by the King Firm. Ring the King, 909-KING. Don't play the game of claims with insurance companies. If you've been injured in an accident, ring the King, 504-909-KING. KingInjuryFirm.com. They specialize in personal injury, maritime offshore, mass tort, and workers' comp. We come back. What are some of the top storylines Brian and I will be paying attention to over the next 3 weeks of OTAs and final week, which is minicamp? And I'm going to ask you, Jordan, the intern, via social media at ESPN Radio NOLA, what do you want covered? What do you want to see coverage-wise from the media in OTAs? What do you want to know? What to you is the biggest storyline? And we can do that when we come back. It's the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans. Welcome back. Sports Hangover, as I said, hour one brought to you by the King Firm. It's been injured in an accident. The King, don't play the game of claims. 504-909-KING. Brian and Ola East here, as always, on Tuesdays. Jordan the intern as well, 800-998-1003. If you would like to chime in and get involved in the conversation. And, of course, OTAs starts today. It's over. Day one's done. It's 10:20-ish to about 12-ish is when it goes. I know that makes a lot of sense. But it could be early. It can be done. So
yeah, it depends on when coach calls practice.
Coach is scheduled to speak on Thursday, 12:10. We'll carry it live. And, you know, we'll make some observations, obviously, and all that. So we're throwing it out there at ESPN Radio NOLA. What are some of the storylines you want covered? Like, what do you want to know about, right? Like, what do you want to know from what we're seeing out there? That's kind of, you know, I'm throwing it out there from your standpoint. Brian, you and I will kind of just quickly go through, I guess, just some things off the top of our heads, what we're sort of looking to see starting Thursday for us. It's it's three OTAs. It's three weeks of OTAs this week, next week, the week after. And then you have rookie minicamp, which has been open to the past. It'll be Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. I can't imagine it won't be open to the public again, weather permitting.
Yeah, for minicamp.
All right, so that's your time frame. So we get, what is it, six practices.
Yeah.
Right? Three OTAs and three minicamp practices to kind of get an idea. Then you have the 6 week break and then it's training camp.
Right.
Off the top of your head, let's just go through them. Some of the things that we'll be looking at. We walk out, we get just six observation days. What is what are the ones that are right off the top of your head that you absolutely want to look at?
I think one of the first things I want to see is, how is Marcus Davenport progressing? You know, has he learned how to use his hands? Because, you know, we saw him at rookie minicamp. He couldn't get past Ola, you know.
Michael Ola.
Yeah, couldn't get past Ola on a few of those plays. Don't get me wrong. You know, he showed the ability. We could see his get off the line.
Speed, quickness, spin move. You saw that. Yeah, the hand play and all that. And again, we'll see that progression goes. I'm with you. So you're looking at a culmination out of six practices to be able to kind of see a steady progression.
Let's see his progression. Okay. I think I also want to see what happens with the offense as far as tight end and these new receivers that are being brought in. How quickly are they getting up to speed? Are they getting in and out of their breaks? Are they flying past defenders? I want to see what happens with Traquan Smith and your guy, Deion Yelder.
Deion Yelder is getting a lot of love. A lot of love from, again, the rookie minicamp and maybe the possibility. And it's probably because of the possibility that exists for him to probably make this team. Again, no offense to Josh Hill, Michael Omanawanaui, or any of the other tight ends they got there.
Yeah.
But, again, Ben Watson went out there and got
he doubled their production.
Yeah. Well, no. Yeah, yeah. He had more production than anybody on the Saints tight ends last year. So, and we now know Kobe Fleener didn't work out.
Right. He gone. Stuff.
So, there's an opportunity there, no doubt about it. Again, Ben Watson's a one-year deal. I've called him a bridge, and I think it's a perfect bridge. A guy that, man, has done it right.
Yeah.
Right? Off the field, on the field. Mm-hmm. Perfect guy to kind of teach a young guy, too, as well. When you read Yelder's story, which you saw some stories this weekend as, again, in advance of OTAs, it's crazy. A guy went from receiver to tight end at Western Kentucky and really 1 year.
Yeah.
1 year, the catches and touchdowns, and that's why he didn't get drafted. But you saw in that 1 year the potential, and it was interesting in reading the piece. I want to say it's on The Advocate. The decision to come to New Orleans because of Dan Campbell is one of them there as well, the tight ends coach. And more importantly, again, This is an opportunity. I mean, it's there for the taking. The Saints are looking for a future young tight end.
Correct.
I mean, it is absolutely there.
Yeah, oh, correct. No doubt about it. I mean, he has every opportunity. You know, we used to call him back maybe a few OTAs ago. We started, you know, a few years back, we started calling people every opportunity players.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to get every opportunity to win that job and get
AOPs
on his team.
There exactly he is. Right, because it's going to be there. And look, you're not expecting or asking a lot. Look, Sean Payton every year has had a player or two that are project players. He's drafted projects. He's told you. David Onyemata. I mean, it comes to mind.
Yeah. Rick Leonard this year.
Right. Right. And then the guy last year from Miami, Muhammad.
Yeah. Al-Qadim Muhammad.
Al-Qadim Muhammad. You know, again, guys that, hey, let's see and progress. Not expected, you know, we're not looking for you to be an impact player.
Right.
Right. We want you to grow and sort of done that. We've seen coach stash players with the old, you know, during training camp. Owie, season ending IR.
Redshirt year.
Exactly. Yeah. Redshirt year. We've seen those things. But with Deion Yelder, there's a chance that if you see him progress enough, you could see him on the roster.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and again, so yeah, that's definitely one to look at. You mentioned Tre'Quan Smith. Cameron Meredith, he was targeting the start of training camp.
Training camp, right.
Now, you might see him do like some individual stuff where he's just running. Maybe, or just catching with Drew. I don't know. We have no idea where he's at and what he can do. But Tre'Quan Smith, you're right. Again, an opportunity to be able to kind of get in and see what he can do. I'm looking to see what that battle is going to be like, because your guy, Brandon Coleman, is back. But let's be honest, primarily it's because of that blocking thing. And Tre'Quan Smith says, I love the block too. But again, no shoulder pads, no contact. You really can't judge on that.
Yeah.
So that'll be something to do. Here's another one I'm going to be looking forward to. Probably for the first time ever, when Drew Brees is not at quarterback.
Yeah.
I'm actually going to be paying attention. Not that we don't. I mean, we have our sheet of paper. We always jot down each play when it comes to the team drill portions and things of that nature. But Brian, and we might even task Jordan on this too as well, to maybe chart how some of these guys go. Because I do want to see, do they get snaps with some of the first or second stringers?
Yeah.
Do they get snaps that in competition sort of levels there as well? And to your point, does Drew Brees maybe get less snaps to kind of give them some look-sees in certain team drills? I don't know, because to me, OTAs are probably the best chance to sort of do that.
Yeah, but unfortunately, I'm going to have to go over your sheet, because for some strange reason, I feel like you're going to be JT Barrett biased. I don't know why.
Here we go again. No, I know some people think I put him in the rookie
Minicamp Hall of Fame. Oh, yeah. He's there.
You were there. He stood out. But but my point is, the Saints at some point are going to have to start looking at somebody even back there for the backup role right now.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So I'm not even looking at Drew Brees' replacement. Who's the backup role? I think it's open to me.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's wide open to me.
I know Jay Hargrave is ready to buy a Tom Savage jersey. And he may be the only person in New Orleans supposed to buy a Tom Savage jersey. And I'm not ripping Savage, but I think it's open. And I think it absolutely is. Look, I mean, I'm going by Sean Payton's words. Sean Payton's words, the next quarterback is in the locker room.
And that's before Tom Savage got there.
Right, and that's Taysom Hill, because JT Barrett hadn't come in there yet. So I'm going to be looking to see completions. I'm going to be looking to see, again, Johnny Checkdown. Are you Johnny Checkdown? Are you just, hey, I don't like it, and I'm running? Because that's what stood out from JT Barrett. He didn't run. And for a guy that ever, he can't be a pocket passer. Well, he never left the pocket.
No.
Now, again, I get it. It's rookie minicamp. He said it himself. It's a half of a full day install for the vets.
Yeah.
So by Thursday, it'd be 3 days of install, six times as much, really, when you kind of look at it, than what he's used to. So I'm interested on Thursday, right off the gate. I mean, is he looking left, or is he checking it down? Is he missing people? Is he patting the ball, kind of trying to find it? Well, if he looks like what he looked like before, I'm like, okay, it's going to be impressive or not. And Brian, we've never seen Taysom Hill practice.
Never. We haven't seen anything. Like,
no, we didn't.
I don't know if he can throw the ball from me to you.
Right. I get it. You know, so I don't know. It'll be interesting to see.
Yeah. I think the final thing I'm going to be looking for is who makes the leap now. Like, who's next up? Because we all know what they did last year. Those rookies coming in, even some of the vets. Okay, are you impressed with what you did last year, or are you hungry to show that everybody wasn't a fluke? Yeah. That's what I want to see next.
No doubt about it. Sports Hangover continues next. We'll take the quick break. We'll come back to the phone calls, 800-998-1003. Don't play the game of claims with insurance companies. If you've been injured in an accident, ring the King, 504-909-KING. KingInjuryFirm.com is the way to check them out online. You're listening to the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans. So the Dolphins, their owner over there, Stephen Ross, $500 million. Brian, you were correct, $500 million into Hard Rock Stadium.
There it is,
and they've been rewarded. Super Bowl 2020, the national championship game in 2021. Yeah, I mean, you look at the pictures. I mean, it's fantastic. I mean, they put like a covering and it used to be just open.
Oh yeah,
but people would bake out there. So.
It's nice, man. I mean,
no, it's
500 mil worth of renovations.
Yeah, no, 500 nice. Million. So we'll see. Uptown Realty, thank you for giving us a call here on the Sports Hangover. 800-998-1003. What are some of the storylines you're looking into here as OTAs is underway?
Hey, man, I'm looking at Antonio Gates. And let me tell you why I'm looking at Antonio Gates. He got experience. He out there. And the Saints ought to get him so they can teach these rookie tight ends how to play.
That's what they have Ben Watson for now.
They went and got Ben Watson for
that. Yeah, but guess what? You need two tight ends. You need two tight ends. Yeah, I mean, the rookies you got, they're not cutting the mustard.
How do you know Deion Yelder may not make the team?
Well, the thing is, they haven't cut the mustard last year.
But they weren't here last year because they're rookies now.
Yeah, but you need two veterans tight ends.
You do. You need Josh Hill and Michael Uwamanaui.
Yeah, but no. Look, I'm gonna say it this way. Mm-hmm. Antonio Gates is the man you need. He's out there. Go and get him. He's not gonna cost you nothing to get him. I mean, Michael Amanuti, whatever his name is, Noodle. I say it this way. He can play, mm-hmm. but you need some real veteran blocking on the line, so you can break so the receivers can get wide open. You can't get it with Michael Noodle. He's not a veteran player.
No, he is a veteran player. Michael Uwamanaui is a veteran player. Josh Hill's a veteran player.
But you're not getting. Look, you're not getting that with them. You need a veteran. You need a veteran. Two veteran tight ends on your line.
Well, they have three veteran tight ends right now.
You do have that. Well, now, look. If your argument is you can get younger or better, then that's fine. But that's all they have is veteran tight ends right now. Yelder's like the young tight end.
Okay, name me three tight ends that they got besides Ben Watson.
I just did. Josh Hill,
Michael Uwamanaui.
Okay. Josh Hill, Michael Uwamanaui, whatever his mm-hmm. name is. How long he been with the Saints?
At least like almost 4 years now. He signed a 3-year deal back in 2016.
Okay, and how long Josh Hill been with the Saints?
Probably about the same amount of time, maybe even a little bit longer.
I'm going to tell you this. One of them tight ends is going to get cut, and
Tony is going
to come in there.
Because let me tell you why.
I'll tell you this. Drew Brees thinks a lot Antonio Gates.
Well, Drew Brees actually came out probably about a week and a half, maybe 2 weeks ago, and said that the Saints aren't interested in Antonio Gates.
That was
straight from Drew Brees.
Yeah. Again, I hear what you're saying.
That's what he's saying now. Just wait till an injury happens. I hope no injury doesn't happen on the Saints because I want them to go all the way. Believe me, I want them to go all the way to the Super Bowl and play in Atlanta. I would laugh at the Atlanta Falcons because they was drunk. During the Super Bowl, they got drunk during halftime, okay, and they couldn't move. That's the problem with Atlanta. They talk that talk, But when they get there, they can't walk the walk. And that, I'm talking to your Atlanta Falcons fans out there. Okay? You walk the walk, but you can't, I mean, you talk the talk, but you can't walk the walk. And that's it. And don't worry, we're going to punish you this year for beating us last year.
There he is.
There you have it.
The Uptown Ruler, as always. Pleasure when he calls. 800-998-1003. Again, the tight end position will be interesting to see where it goes. There's a reason the Saints went out and got Ben Watson. He is the veteran guy that they can think they can get some performance on. But yes, Deion Yelder will have a chance to do that. Other position groups that I'm looking forward to, not even topics, but main things is I'm going to do a mental roll call of the injured Saints.
Oh, yeah.
They're on there. Bring up the Saints that were on IR. Jordan the intern, and go ahead and just spill out some of the names. I'll start with AJ Klein.
That'd be nice to see him back.
That defense took a dip when he was injured. I mean, there's no other way to look at it.
Oh,
right?
No question. I mean, you're starting with AJ Klein. That's just one guy on the defense. We're talking about Haloi Kakaha, Alex Okafor.
Dude, stop right there.
Yeah.
You almost just forgot about Haloi Kakaha.
Yeah, I mean, he's almost an afterthought at this point. Second-round pick.
Well, again, remember there was rumors about him being traded during
Correct.
The season? I don't know what it is with him and Dennis Allen, but I think he knows where to use him. Although, again, yeah. When he's healthy...
He's a difference maker.
He's around the ball.
Yeah.
You know, in special teams and stuff like that, you almost forgot he's on the roster. But yes, Haloi Kakaha is still on the roster.
Alex Okafor, another guy, coming back off
injury. Again, I don't know where he is. Again, mental note of some of the names that... Do you have the names? Some of the list of names? Join the intern. Go through... pick some starters from last year that were placed on season-ending IR.
Alex Anzalone.
Okay, yeah. Yes. Okay.
It's another one. Linebacker.
Right. He earned the starting role on that. So, again, let's see where he is, but interesting. Next.
Nick Fairley?
No.
Could have used him, but he gone now.
Yeah, he's not going to happen.
Corey Fuller?
Yeah, wide receiver. I mean, he was there and then he wasn't there.
Yeah.
DeMarcus Lawrence?
Wow.
Who? Yeah, I said starters.
Well, I was just giving you.
No, I said, but I said, see, do you see what I get right here? This is what I'm getting. Yeah. I said starters.
You did.
I did. You heard me say starters.
I did. But Jordan's giving you everybody. Why
you
give
everybody.
You a little something?
It's everybody. Everybody's included.
No, I want the starters. Give me starters.
Delvin Bro.
He gone.
He's not signing anybody, is he?
No, and we saw Chip at the night of the
we did.
Yeah, the
NFL draft show.
Yeah, draft show. Yeah, he looks healthy. You know, doesn't look like he's limping or anything.
Does he look healthy? He looked healthy just walking over to the table.
I mean, look, he didn't look like he was limping.
I tell you what,
somebody with a broken leg.
I tell you what, I like to play a meteorologist. I had no idea you were team physician based off of how someone walked in a restaurant.
Oh, really? Because I remember somebody telling me when Delvin Bro left the facility last year, he was limping, and all of a sudden
I could clearly see he was limping.
Well, I can clearly see he wasn't limping
this
time.
And guess where he went to go get a second opinion and what happened there?
Oh, they showed that he had a broken bone. Well, guess what I can see? I can see that his bones weren't broken because he was walking normally.
Yeah, whatever.
We got John Kuhn.
Oh, wow. Fullback.
Okay. AJ Klein.
Okay.
Kind of important.
Louis Kakaha.
We just said it.
Okay.
You know what? You're done.
Sorry, I'm not listening.
You're done. Did he just say, sorry, I'm not listening? He really just said, sorry, I'm not listening.
That's why you get paid the big bucks.
Do you see what I have? This is what I have. This is what I have.
Big bucks.
This is what I have.
I'm just Pete.
We're going to talk about this next segment here because it kind of goes to something I'm going to be checking out here as well, because it did. Remember last year, first day of training camp, it was, I said, the number one thing I'm doing is when I walk out, the number one position I was looking at was tackle.
Yeah.
In case at left tackle, because we knew Armstead wasn't going to be ready.
Right.
And I said, I want to see if Ryan Ramczyk's even on the field. Because remember, he was recovering.
Right.
Didn't do any OTAs, didn't do any minicamp.
Right.
And there he is, first day at training camp, on the first team, and taking first team reps and ready to go. And I was like, whoa. And you saw it, right? From the get-go.
From day one.
We're going to take a quick break. We come back. Pete Prisco, CBSSports.com. He has a list of a couple of players that he thinks is going to be the next step.
Yeah, breakout guys.
Yeah, breakout guys in 2018. We're going to kind of not steal, but we'll borrow. Because he does mention a New Orleans Saint.
He does.
So I'll ask y'all, though. I mean, what state do you think is that? And I might have just given you a clue as to where I'm going. But I'm looking in that direction because this will be his first full season starting at right tackle now, replacing Zach Streif.
It's going to be interesting, man. I know, you know, Pete Prisco has his in mind, and of course I got mine, but we'll see what the fans think, the listeners.
Exactly right. 800-998-1003 or at ESPN Radio NOLA. Don't play the game of claims with insurance companies. You've been injured in an accident. Ring the King, 909-KING, kinginjuryfirm.com, personal injury. Maritime, offshore, mass tort, and workers' comp is what they specify in. Welcome back, Sports Hangover. Tulane set to take on Houston in the American Conference Tournament. LSU, Mississippi State, 4:30. And, rain is the issue right now. They were supposed to start at 11 o'clock. It's raining, and the tarp's on the field. No game time as of yet. TBD. That's probably never really good when you look at it from that perspective. So we'll let you know if Tulane and Houston get underway. Nichols tomorrow at noon against Southeastern. Brian, we touched on it a little bit. Isn't it weird that LSU's got to win. They've got to win today.
Yeah. It's a must win if they But every game is a must-win for
them. I know, but I'm trying to think of the last time that a must-win took place for them in the SEC tournament to get into regional play.
Wow.
So it is interesting when you look at it from that perspective. 800-998-1003. Pete Prisco throwing out a list of players, and it kind of is just kind of talking and debating here. He listed 10 players below who he thinks are going to take major steps forward in 2018, you know, breakout players. The list features players entering, now this is a criteria, second or third season and have showed future Pro Bowl potential or did so in 2017. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Takarist McKinley, defensive end Falcons.
Yeah, whatever.
That's one of them.
Yeah, whatever.
Mine's.
I'm not saying anything good about the Falcons.
Okay. It was the best pass rusher. He's predicting he's going to be the best pass rusher in 2018.
Yeah, what does he know?
George Kittle, tight end for the 49ers. Miles Jack, linebacker from the Jaguars. Deion Dawkins, tackle for the Bills. Shaquille Griffin, cornerback from the Seahawks. Adrian Colbert, safety from the 49ers. Chris Godwin, wide receiver from the Buccaneers, another NFC South participant.
Yeah, he doesn't know what he's talking about. Okay.
Derek Barnett, defensive end of the Eagles. William Jackson, cornerback of the Bengals. And out of your New Orleans Saints, safety, Marcus Williams.
Prisco's a genius, man. Guy's on it.
Now, he says he might remember him as being the player at the most horrible whiff on a tackle against Stephon Diggs in the AFC playoff loss to the Vikings. While that play will hover over his career, a deeper look will show a player who can cover a lot of ground, has a chance to be one of those outstanding, rangy players in the deep middle. He started 15 games as a rookie in 2017 and had four picks in a secondary that includes Pro Bowl corner Marshawn Lattimore. This could be the year that he starts to get the same acclaim. Williams is much more than a player who missed an important tackle. I'm glad he said that.
Exactly.
Because you and I have talked about this. The guy had more snaps than anybody.
Yes.
Right? So, I think it makes it very interesting. So, to the phone lines, we go 800-998-1003. I believe it's Mike. Mike, is that you, bud?
Hey, Gus, what's going on?
Hey, man, how you doing, bud?
Hey, Gus. Pretty good, man. It's Marcus Williams, definitely. The guy has the most approved. Not even to anyone else, because he was one of the best rookies in the NFL, period. But just to himself, he feels like, because he let everyone down. Which I covered it. I covered it the pick before the draft even happened. But when the Saints took him, you know, I felt like it was a match made in heaven with Dennis Allen, and I feel like the guy's going to really become a Pro Bowl caliber player every season from now on. Thanks.
Yeah, for sure, Mike. And look, Mike's on point on this. Dennis Allen loves.
Oh, yeah. From day Marcus one. I mean, we're talking about OTAs. He was the number one guy mm-hmm. out there. I mean, you know, we were looking at it. You know, we're looking for Marshawn Lattimore and all these other guys. And there he is, you know, lined up out there free safety. And he was all by his own self. So it's not like he had help over the top or anything. He was calling out the plays in the back on the back end from day one. That showed a lot. And you kept pointing that out last year doing OTAs and minicamp. He's back there by himself.
No, he's, exactly. Yeah. Remember, I was saying, I'm like, do you see he's not getting any help and he's covering the entire field? And look, I asked him, Dennis Allen, back in the rookie minicamp a couple Saturdays ago, you know, how, because we saw on Instagram the guys posting like not 30-second videos.
No. This is like an entire little 2-minute clip of him.
It's
him
like
just
his entire
insane.
Workout of getting stronger and better to go. The guy took that failure and it motivated him.
Oh, yeah.
And the guy could play last year.
Right.
So if he got any stronger and faster, the head thing is not even an issue.
No, I mean, I think he's mentally
Dennis
strong
Allen
enough.
Dennis Allen trusted him to run that defense in the back end of the secondary.
No question.
hold on. You got a flashlight, APB? Anybody seen Kenny Vaccaro? That's how good he was.
Yeah.
Like, the Saints are like, man, it's been good.
Yeah, it's nice.
First-round pick.
Yeah, now mind you, Von Bell was drafted to be the free safety. They right. moved Von Bell to strong safety, so now they have that open and close look they've been looking for.
Yeah, no. I mean, look, again, it just gives you an idea, though. This was Dennis Allen on Marcus Williams. So I was like, look, if you talk to him about that play, what is he like? I was trying to get from Coach, he's come back hungrier, he's motivated. Like, is there any difference? Maybe the shortness of this bite is something that's unique.
He's been outstanding. He's been outstanding. We felt great about Marcus when we drafted him, and we still feel great about him. I think he's really developed as a player. I think he's going to continue to get better.
The follow-up was right after that. I forgot who it was. It was to my left, and they asked, do you even mention that play? And he goes, no.
For what?
You don't do that.
Take a minute.
Where were we? We're Friday, right? At Deuce McAllister's old Saint Kitchen and Tap in Minnesota. That game was on that last few minutes of that play.
Yeah.
And to this day, I found the explanation. Remember where we did the post game show last year?
Yeah.
Buffalo Wild Wings?
Yeah.
Somebody in Minnesota hit a butt.
Oh, that's what happened.
The Buffalo Wild Wings commercial?
Yeah,
you know what? They asked the server, the bartender to,
makes sense now.
You know, and they're like, and he goes, hold on. And he pulls the button, pulls the lever. It's the only thing I can explain. Because there is no football.
9 out of 10, he makes that play.
I would go 9.9 out of 10. It's either deflected, incomplete, or he makes the, at the very least, he makes the tackle.
You could understand what he was going with.
Right. And the clock runs out. I still can't understand it. Now, you do know what's happening Thursday, right?
Oh, yeah.
They're going to ask
him. They're going to ask him about it.
You have to ask him about it.
Yeah.
Because here's what I want to know. Actually, it's what I want to hear if I'm a fan. Because you're going to hear it. I know what he's going to say.
Yeah.
It's a motivating factor.
Oh, no question. I think everybody can see that by now.
And all I know is this. You know, I'll ask you, Brian. Would you have faced the cameras that day?
I don't think I would have.
Here's the thing. I wouldn't have thought less of you.
No.
If you would have said, I need some time. Because on Monday, in the open locker room after the game, he could have talked.
Yeah.
He could have talked. I'm talking about the immediacy.
He did it right after.
Of that game, it's over, and you walk into that locker room, the stadium's still going nuts. You can hear it.
Yes.
Believe me, you can still hear the stadium going nuts, the music, everyone's partying. And you walk in. And you know what you're going to hear when your head's down when you walk in?
Yeah.
Helmets being thrown against the locker.
Yeah.
Players cursing.
Yeah.
Or dead silence with some of just the – and, dude, I'm telling you, the Saints sideline reporter or even Tulane sideline reporter, I did Saints 2 years and Tulane for now 8. When you have a tough loss, man, you're sweat. I mean, it's just – you do not want to be in that locker room. It's not even that you fear for you. It's just, it's a horrible, gut-wrenching, emotionally draining feeling of that just happened. In the immediacy of the season is over.
Yeah.
And it's one thing to lose it on a play. Let's say They make a couple completions. He would have tackled. The guy gets out of bounds to kick the game-winning field goal. That's still not the same as being solely responsible.
Right.
Scott Norwood, Bill Buckner, I mean, solely responsible. You didn't do your job. Now, Cam Jordan said we could have got, and they could have.
Yeah.
There were a couple of plays where, man, they didn't get the pass rush, and we're sitting there going, why are you not blitzing? I mean,
The Willie Snead little flea flicker play, right, which misses Alvin Kamara,
exactly
that puts
right.
it away.
Well, like I said, exactly right. And look, and you and I have talked about this. If they've settled for that field goal because they could not get a first down.
Yeah.
If they get a first down, they could have run the clock out.
Yeah,
and they couldn't get a first down. And it was the number one thing the Saints struggled with last year were third down conversions. Now, we remember the game possible winning field goal, but the Saints failed again on third down to get the first down. If they get the first down, they can run that clock down. And the kick happens as the clock expires, and that play never happens.
Here's a great idea. Don't wait till the second half to score a point. No. You went 17 to nothing in the first half. Minnesota just dominated. Maybe if you score, I don't know, field goal before the half.
I remembered it already.
Yeah.
Too many times. When we come back, we'll touch on, the Eastern Conference Finals, game number four. It is 2-2. LeBron tells us what's the difference between games
LeBron
1 and 2.
James.
And also, we'll have a little fun. What will be your headline for the Saints or just Super Bowl 58 in 2024? Jay Cicero, CEO of the Greater Sports New Orleans Sports Foundation, is coming up at 1:30 to talk about that bid and presentation tomorrow. So stick around. You're listening to the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
That voice that had been away. Haven't changed, had much to say. But man, I still think them cats are crazy.